name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel today, Christ gives us the parable of the wedding feast. This parable that Christ is speaking today takes place immediately after the parable that we heard last week, the parable of the vineyard. Christ is in the temple, in the presence of the multitudes, in the presence of the Jewish leaders and elders, and he again gives us a parable about the kingdom of heaven and about the inauguration of the new Israel. Last week, Christ gives us the image of the new Israel as the vineyard, the new vineyard. And this week, he gives us another powerful parable, another powerful image of the kingdom of heaven as the wedding feast. And this wedding feast, we're reminded that this is not some future event. This is not something that is coming in the future. Although it is coming in the future in its fullness, but the wedding feast that Christ is preparing is right now in the midst of us in the church. The wedding feast is the altar. It's the table. It's the Eucharist. It is the liturgy that the church has continually celebrated now almost daily for 2,000 years. That wedding feast, the marriage of the King's Son, of Christ, of the bridegroom to his bride, the church. This is the wedding feast that Christ is speaking of today. And he sends out that invitation to all, good and bad. He sends out that invitation to the entire world. So we prepare. We prepare with that wedding garment. The fathers tell us that this wedding garment is, of course, our garment of baptism and chrismation. They also remind us that that garment also includes a way that we prepare for that wedding feast. The way that we pray, the way that we fast, the way that we confess our sins in preparation. And they remind us that these are not tickets, these are not check boxes that we check in order to gain entry into this wedding feast. In preparation, this wedding garment, baptism, chrismation, and our continual repentance is a participation in the new life that Christ has inaugurated in this wedding feast, this reorientation of our own lives and indeed of the entire cosmos. And we see this preparation already beginning all the way back in the book of Genesis. God creates out of love. He creates the entire cosmos, but more specifically, he creates man. He creates Adam and Eve and places them in the garden. And he has communion with them. Creates them out of love and out of for communion. So they are existing in paradise in communion, and he places in the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he tells them that they are not to partake of that tree, not as some arbitrary rule or as a warning or as a punishment, but he tells them they're not ready. They will one day partake of that, but they are not ready. God is not done with them. God creates them in order to, in communion, for them to grow spiritually, for them to mature. And then what happens to this? We see the Holy Scripture tells us that Eve saw the fruit, that it was good. She hears the voice of the serpent and sees the fruit, that it is good. She partakes, shares with Adam, and their eyes are open unto shame. And with this shame, and with this partaking, death spirals out into the world. And this is the image. This is the reality of the fall. Eve and Adam, they see before they taste. They break that communion that God had established with them. And Christ begins to prepare that wedding feast in order to reverse this, in order to invert that pattern. The King sends his Son to establish that wedding feast, and Christ becomes man. He unites our humanity fully and eternally to his divinity. He bears our wounds, nails them to the cross. He ascends to the Father. He has resurrected our nature in the sense of the Father. And now humanity has been transfigured, has now been given a different type of pattern. We see this new pattern of the wedding feast every Sunday liturgy. We listen carefully after the faithful have received Holy Communion, the choir sings from Psalm 33, and we hear this very important line, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." But we notice that pattern that had caused that rift in the garden is now reversed. where Eve had once seen and tasted, and then her eyes are opened unto shame, Christ then reverses that. And that order is important. Oh, taste, then see. And this is the image of the wedding feast, where we partake, and then our eyes are opened, not unto shame, but unto our own repentance. We taste first, then the new life comes, then the love comes, then the true repentance comes. This new pattern that Christ establishes is mirrored even in the very act of biology itself. Every one of us was, and before we were born, we lived for about 9 months in our mother's womb. And how did we live in that womb? Our eyes were closed, and yet we were nurtured. We ate and we tasted for 9 months until we were then out into the world and our eyes are opened. So this pattern exists even from conception on. This pattern of our lives, Christ is then mirroring in the altar, in the Eucharist, in the wedding feast. This is why the church has always, from the very beginning, baptized, chrismated, and communed infants, given the wedding garment, the gift of Christ's wedding garment, even to nursing infants, because the pattern is not see and taste. The pattern is not, oh, let me think about it for a little while, then I'll come to the table. The pattern is even a nursing infant who can barely think, who can't even reason at all, is then partaking of the Eucharist so they can grow in the way that Adam and Eve had, that God wanted Adam and Eve to grow, and indeed for all of us to grow in. This pattern of tasting and then seeing, so that one day at the eternal wedding feast, we may see him as he truly is. What a great reminder this is, brothers and sisters, of all of us here in the church, and how we prepare for this wedding feast today and all wedding feasts. It's a reminder that those of us who are cradled, those of us who have been in the faith since the very beginning, to not take for granted this great gift of the wedding feast, this great gift of the liturgy, this great gift of his body and blood, to treat every single liturgy, every single wedding feast like it's our first and like our last. And it's also a reminder to those of us who are not in the church yet, who have not received that wedding garment. So many of us here have been inquiring, have been stepping inside the door, waiting, hungry, thirsty for his body and blood. Good. Use that hunger. Use that thirst. Because in that hunger and that thirst, this is Christ preparing you for that wedding garment that he has for you. What a great reminder this is, brothers and sisters, of how Christ continually inverts the patterns of the world and is continually preparing us for the gift of his body and blood. Let us always treat every single liturgy like it's our first and our last. Prepare yourselves. Renew that wedding garment. Prepare for one day when you will receive that wedding garment. And pray that he never finds us without that wedding garment. Through the prayers of the Holy Fathers, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.